Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, my darlings. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name is Margus Speller, and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Pete Donaldson's here.
Trevor Redwolf.
And the voice, Luke Moore, is back.
I'm Ross from Friends.
Just to give you a little peek behind the curtain, everybody, Pete is currently on a ragga tip.
Mate, I'm ragged all over the place. I'm actually on a scooter tip. I'm going happy hardcore until 2019, guys.
Absolutely working you hard, aren't they?
Yep.
Pete, you danced so aggressively in that intro that two things happened. One, your headphones fell off.
Yep.
Two, your hair started to resemble mein Führer.
It does do that sometimes.
And
it
three,
is kind of like Hitler in the bunker, schnell, angry, angry.
Mm. And three, I had a little flashback to when I first saw that Oliver Reed clip when he was on Michael Parkinson.
Yes, it was a bit of like that. No. It was actually Michael Aspel.
Michael Aspel.
Yeah. No, Oliver Reed danced at the issues, right?
I thought it was Oliver Reed.
Right, ish.
It was Pete doing impression of Oliver Reed doing impression of Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either way, it's terrifying.
And he claps in
any permutation.
He's got a jug of vodka and orange.
Yeah. Peter is very happy because international football has finished.
Dry as all bum holes. There it is again.
But it will be back.
Yes.
International football will be back sooner than you think. Let me tell you that. We turn our attention, of course, to the Premier League once again. And the news that John Motson is retiring at the end of the season.
Huge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's not retiring, isn't he? He's just retiring from the BBC.
Which it sounds
like.
Right?
Is that
like
come and get me?
Well, it sounds like they've said that there are perhaps, you know, exciting opportunities for him elsewhere.
Imagine if he popped up on BT Sport.
Is he doing a day after Sacco and doing like a medical in France?
Maybe.
To try and get a move.
Medical over at ITV.
Canal Plus.
Commentating on Chinese TV.
I heard it was a whopping fee. Voiceovers for dolphin bathrooms.
Nice. The walking ones.
Yeah.
He's getting that edge.
Yeah.
It all comes to us.
What an amazing servant to the world of broadcast media, though.
Mm, he'll retire, from the BBC, according to Jim, although it probably will be a retirement from all you would have thought, wouldn't you? In his 50th year of commentating. Yeah. That is incredible.
I just want to get this in there now. Give him the FA Cup final. Yeah. Surely.
I'm going to say give him the FA Cup.
Yeah, let him keep it.
Let him commentate through the FA Cup so it's nice and echoey.
like a big megaphone.
Yeah. Middlesbrough withdrawing Macaroni the Italian, Nemeth the Slovakian, and Stockdale the right back, which is one of my favourite ones.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. Now is not the time to be churlish about John Motson and his career.
Yes.
But if it was the time, I may well be tempted to say something like this. For example, as a thought exercise,
okay,
just to put it out there, perhaps maybe he should have retired around 10 years ago.
As many as that.
Right.
Just put it out there.
Yeah, well, he said that
he didn't say that when Wayne Rooney was retired from international football.
I think he's got very a lot
different.
To offer.
He's got a lot to offer.
Jim is right. It is very different. I mean, he said he wanted to retire before people started saying he's past it. So perhaps that example of what you said, Luke, if indeed you were to choose to action it through your mouth, may not be.
No, it's just an example.
Yeah, just an example.
I've already distanced myself from it.
Uh-huh. Having been so close to it previously. he did tell a tale, Motson. He was interviewed on the BBC and when he commentated on England beating Germany 5-1. That was one of his favourite moments. And he said a line when Owen scored his third goal saying, "It gets better and better and better."
Yeah.
And he said about a month later, he was in attendance at West Ham. He wasn't actually working at the game, just in attendance.
Spent holiday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Imagine being sat next to him.
God, the temptation to commentate must be overwhelming.
He probably would have just done it.
Yeah, just muffled into his sheepskin.
Maybe he's doing one of those things that our mate Slim does, where he sits next to a blind supporter
and
describes the action.
The
maybe he's doing
delightful.
That.
Yeah. He said someone tapped him on the shoulder and said that line to him in his ear. Turn around, Svenigans.
Oh, there it is.
Nice.
The man who masterminded the 5-1, of course.
God, what a night out they must have had after that.
Less said about that, the better.
Imagine Sven in your ear going, it just goes better and better and Vettel. That's what he said.
You know he's done that before.
Yeah, he's definitely done that before.
Marcus
from
has
that angle too.
Marcus has imagined that many, many times.
I would. The doctor told me it was getting worse and worse and worse, though. but there we are. There we are.
Good old Motti. Good for him.
We're going for the rest of the season.
Good luck to him. More power to his elbow.
Aye.
An enormous amount of power to that elbow. After the international break, the first match of the Premier League weekend is a thigh rubber involving Liverpool going away to Manchester City. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain is among their ranks and was seen receiving a hug from Jurgen Klopp. Jurgen Klopp had his little backpack on and a parka jacket, I think.
That's what you get with the Kloppo, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, Klopp looked like...
the man don't give an F.
Yeah, he didn't look like a football manager, let's say.
He doesn't, though, does he? That's what's so enjoyable about Klopp. Mm.
So one of the criticisms I've heard levelled at Klopp by some people who aren't particular fans of him or of Liverpool are that one of the criticisms is that it's all affected. Like, he's not actually like
right,
that.
Right, okay,
I don't subscribe to that anyway, but I saw a video over the last day or two.
Oh, with the Everton fan?
Yeah. Did you guys see that?
Yeah. He posted it on the Ramble.
There you go. So he was accosted from like a petrol station by an Evertonian, young girl, I think, and she said, "Oh, evidently her friend was ill in hospital or something." Mm. And she said, "Oh, will you do a video to her?" And Klopp did it. Yeah. And he said, "Oh, I understand you're Everton fan and all this other stuff, and I hope you're on the road to recovery very, very soon. And I look forward to seeing you in a Merseyside derby later on in the season." And the Evertonian fan who was there said, "Oh, yeah, and we'll win." And then Klopp went, "I don't think so." And he gave a massive grin and then just turned off. So clearly, he had no reason. I mean, I suppose he's media savvy enough to know that could have escaped onto the internet at some point. But at the time, it clearly he's a nice chap.
I'm not having that it's affected. No, I mean, you hear rumours that people like Barack Obama, for example, he's actually not as personable as you think. But I'm not
buying
that
either. And
you hear
like Donald Trump's a good bloke.
You do. You
might.
Do.
The circles you hang out in.
they've all convinced me.
Fortran Speller.
Yeah, I think for all the PR and everything that goes on, clearly you can hire very, very skilled PR professionals to sort of, you know, accentuate your brand and all that sort of stuff, and you've done it yourself, Pete, to create success over the years. But I think ultimately the public can see through it. Essentially, with the Obama thing, I think that's a great example of that. Mm. I do, but I think Klopp's a good guy. Put it that way, and he's also, by the way, he's masterminded. And a brilliant record for Liverpool against big teams. I mean, they're playing Man City at the weekend. They've lost one of their last 22 games against top six or top seven teams or something. Clearly, the struggle they had last season was against teams who were sort of mid-table-ish and struggling, who they struggled to break down. So this game is essentially lined up for City. I mean, for Liverpool to beat City.
Three at the back.
City
bring it in.
Good. City do have a good record at home against Liverpool, though, so it's going to be an interesting one.
I do remember a big win for Liverpool. I think that was a couple of years ago now. But yeah, I think subsequently they've not beaten.
Well, Liverpool taken 4 points off City last season and 6 points the season before.
Yeah.
So overall, Liverpool have got a good. I would suggest on that basis, and based on the fact that Klopp's got a good record against good teams, they've got a decent chance.
Yeah, and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain will possibly even play. Mighty. I mean, there's big talk that he will be. Well, he'll definitely be in the squad.
The big decision that that Klopp's got to make is what he does with Philippe Coutinho. Who's back?
Yeah. I'm also intrigued to see where Oxlade-Chamberlain is going to play, because apparently a big part of why he wanted to move was he wanted to play down the middle. And you would think if Coutinho's fit, you know, and his head's right, that you'd play Coutinho there ahead of him. But actually, this could be an opportunity for Oxlade-Chamberlain to stake a claim if Coutinho still isn't quite right in his head.
I mean, if I was Klopp, though, I'd want Coutinho on the field as soon as possible, because then it just gets rid of all the headlines.
Make his head
rid of
right.
All the crap, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a big game, and Coutinho's a talented player. And to be honest, I think he'll want to play some football. I don't think he'll want to languish in the reserves. I don't think he'll want to train by himself. I think he'll want to play.
No, I do agree with that.
So because Klein's injured, it's a chance he could have to play fullback.
Absolutely, yeah.
but my take on it would be that Coutinho will start on the bench at the weekend. Mm. I don't think. I mean, Liverpool looks like, I mean, even that game they opened the season with, but they drew against Watford. But they made mistakes and all that stuff. Watford are a better team than people think, for one. And two, Liverpool have looked really good since then. They've qualified for the Champions League group stage, and they've had two decent wins in the Premier League, not least of which against Arsenal, where they absolutely battered them.
Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain will be looking at the three positions in midfield. Now, Henderson's, you'd imagine, is safe. And then there's Chan and Wijnaldum at the moment. I think he would want to push Wijnaldum for his place. Yeah. I think Wijnaldum's been good, don't get me wrong. I think that's a very healthy bit of competition there. Although Chan at the moment, is only 10 months left on his contract, and he wants a release clause put into his new deal. And people are saying that he's seen what's happened with Coutinho. And the reason why Barcelona didn't get Coutinho in the end is because Liverpool just kept rejecting their offers. Yeah. Whereas if you've got that release clause in, Barcelona or Real Madrid or whoever come in for you, Chan might think, well, you know, I wouldn't mind the option if a big club like that came in. Another big club.
The thing is, the release clause gets put in about, well, say 2 years ago, and they put a ridiculous fee, like 80 million. That's kind of doable for most clubs nowadays.
That's what Chan's thinking.
Even players with release clauses in their contract are going, is that high enough? I don't know.
This is the mad thing with the Neymar situation, isn't it? That was the first, like, deliberately, ridiculously sized release clause that someone actually met. So it has triggered everything. I mean, do you put a release clause in at, like, 300 million for everyone now? Because that's the point of a lot of them, right?
Some people are saying that, actually, is it a good idea to put in a release clause now? Because you can just keep rejecting offers like Liverpool did with Coutinho.
But in Spain, for example, they have to have release clauses. It's part of employment law there. So that's why you always find them in Spanish clubs. But on the Emre Can thing, as you rightly say, he's out of contract in the summer. It's tempting to think of Emre Can as being a bit of a bit part player because he plays in a number of different positions. He's actually featured an awful lot for Liverpool.
He's a top player.
I think he's featured well over 100 times for Liverpool since he's been there.
And he's already scored a couple of goals this season. He's crucial for them in certain ways. And the way Klopp plays as well, he can perform a few different roles and so on and so forth, and has got real class. With regards to Coutinho, Liverpool fans may be concerned that perhaps in the future he could go to Barcelona, perhaps, or somebody like that. Ronaldinho has waded in saying he believes Coutinho will get his move to Barcelona, but has told Liverpool fans not to worry because Coutinho will give his all for the club. If you wanted reassurance...
That was actually a mistranslation. It was in the club.
In the club.
In the club.
In fact, I'm here with him now.
We are in the club.
If you're wanting reassurance about someone's reliability, is Ronaldinho the man that you would want people telling?
Smell their own mate.
Ronaldinho, who said not that long ago, I would be open to still be playing as long as the club agreed I wouldn't have to trade. What sort of club do you think you're going to be at? But the dog and duck, you know. Even when I played for a pub team called the Coach and Horses once. If you didn't train, you weren't allowed to play on a Sunday. So I'm not sure what Ronaldinho thinks the sort of standard of club he's going to play for.
I think maybe Ronaldinho is one of those people where he's so talented at the things that he enjoys doing that his life is just like, it's almost like one long lucid dream where he genuinely thinks you can just do stuff like that and just do whatever you like.
To be fair, I would admit that Ronaldinho is a better player than most players I play with. So maybe you could argue, well, Marcus Spurs side there, mate.
Thanks.
Liverpool are 11-4 with Bet365 to win at the Etihad. So £10 on that outcome will return £37.50, including stake.
I just want to see Salah running at that back three. I like that player.
I tell you what, bravo, Stones. Yeah. Bit of pressure. We know that Liverpool like to pressurise.
But same up the other end. There could be goals in this game. It's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it.
We're going to look forward to it. Nobody can stop that.
If I was Klopp, I'd understand Pete's point 100% about this sort of circus around Coutinho, but I wouldn't be changing that team. I'd be playing the same team as much as
and
I
bringing
could.
Him on as an impact sub.
Would you bring on Ben Woodburn as an impact sub?
Klopp said that it was international football was way too early for him, and Coleman just said, "Well, yeah, fine, but we need to tie this man down now."
Chris Coleman, he doesn't listen to advice from others, for crying out loud, and that's where it's got him at the very top of the international game. Arsene Wenger has said that Arsenal will spend £60 to £70 million in replacing Alexis Sanchez.
A bit late for that, isn't it? Yeah,
that's if the pound holds its value, of course.
And by saying that, it's just bummed up the price to £100 million. Well done.
The problem isn't the money for Arsenal. Surely it's convincing players that actually want to sign.
I think that seems to be the problem, doesn't it?
Because they agreed a fee for Thomas Lemar, apparently, and he elected to stay at Monaco.
It's so weird that players don't want to go to Arsenal.
I know,
is it though?
It's a London club on top of the fact Arsenal.
I mean, who knows what the truth of that is, but that's certainly odd. It's weird because at the start of the summer, if you'd said to a lot of Arsenal fans, myself included, you'll keep Sanchez and Ozil and you'll bring in Lacazette and you know the tank that is Shed Kolasinac, you'd think, it's a bit annoying that we didn't bring in a midfielder, but that isn't that bad. But the way it's panned out has made it so difficult with the Sanchez situation. It's similar to, you know, as we were just saying about Coutinho. I think Wenger just has to play him as soon as possible and just sort of get his head right as much as possible, because you need him to be firing on all cylinders and be a player that, you know, even if he's just trying to get a move elsewhere, he's actually doing the business. Because at the moment, the narrative is just, it's crisis after three games.
Yeah, I would.
20 million in January.
That's the story, isn't it? Doing the rounds.
If I was Wenger, I'd have sold him.
I would have sold him absolutely if I could. Definitely.
Well, they tried, didn't they? That's the thing.
No, they didn't. They were waiting to get a replacement.
I wouldn't have waited. Sold him anyway.
Absolutely.
I would have too.
You could have got 65 million for him.
Yeah, I would have too.
Jobs are good. He's not going to. We'll see. And especially when you read the comments of former Chile under 20 boss saying Sanchez, he's fatter than normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read about this. Some mad. Did you guys see that?
No, fat is in the team.
Did you see the mad Facebook thing that was set
I did see this. Yeah, this is a great example of the nonsense footballers have to put up with, isn't it?
Well, so a Facebook page has been started in Chile.
Right? Oh, yeah, that is crazy, isn't it?
For Alexis Sanchez to dump his girlfriend. it's been joined by 9,000 people.
Because, including his girlfriend.
because they're saying that his girlfriend, for some reason, has made him fat and lazy.
Isn't it a march, though? It's actually a march they're holding somewhere.
I don't know if that's happening, but the article I read was that it's like a Facebook type group. It might be because of it they're going to do a march together or something.
Imagine that.
I know.
It's almost as if the whole of the internet is incredibly misogynistic.
Yeah.
Damn them.
But the under 20 coach you're talking about also said, I saw him, he was gone. I saw him out of physical shape totally. So it was a bit more sort of considered than just he looks fatter than normal.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I think that might be a translation type thing.
Fair enough. I did feel a bit sorry for Sanchez, though. We talked last week in the international stuff that going on Tim Vickery's article of South American players having to travel great distances, and Sanchez has been a great player for that Chile national side. And I've not really, I've not had a feel, but I don't know if he is a little bit more tubbier than normal at the moment.
he's quite barrel-chested kind of chap, though, isn't he? He's like quite thin at the stomach, but he's stocky at the top.
He's always struck me as a specimen, especially when comparing himself to myself. Yeah. but obviously he went over to Chile and he's been heavily criticised, and he had an Instagram post where he was saying, you know, I'm a bit tired of a lot of the criticism and so on and so forth.
He did do a Maradona and lift his shirt off, like, as about as sucky in as a stomach ever gets. Look at me now! Quickly!
We've all done that, Peter.
Yeah, what? We've all done that, mate.
I'm doing it now.
I was going to say, it's only an audio feature.
But the player I saw them linked with Arsenal, when Wenger said this stuff about the money, the player I saw that was linked with was Thomas Müller.
Yeah.
Who's apparently a little bit out of favour with Bayern Munich, even though he's still played quite a lot. And I did say a week or two ago to you, Jim, about I'm sure this thing with Arsenal is being made out to be a lot worse than it actually is. I'm sure, I've no doubt about that. But having said that, you can't imagine Thomas Müller signing for Arsenal.
No, but I don't think that it's just a spurious transfer rumour, isn't it? That's always going to happen. I don't think that's necessarily indicative of anything that's happening at the club in terms of what their plans are. Partially because I don't think they even know what their plans are. That's half the problem.
Yeah. The thing with transfer windows is we always get very excited. We always want these sort of big moves and we want these moves to happen. And it's exciting. Look what toys you've got to play with in the Premier League. This transfer window has been nothing but toilet. Just upsetting, just backbiting crap from start to finish. And I'm glad it's finished.
Peter, I've got good news for you.
Well,
The next
Ben Arfa's a free agent. What?
He's been seen on the toon with Niall Ranger, and they're asking after you. The next summer transfer window in the Premier League will be considerably shorter.
It's going to close on the 9th of August.
Good. Yeah, so it's going to be a good few weeks shorter. So all that crap that you talked about,
I hated it. It's rubbish. Not just because Newcastle bought nobody.
Can I just say it's ending on the 9th of August. Yeah. It doesn't apply to football league clubs.
No.
14 Premier League clubs voted to change it to the 9th of August before the season starts next season. Mm-hmm. European leagues will still be able to buy until 31st of August.
So it doesn't really matter.
That will go well.
Yeah. Do you think they're banking on the fact that the Premier League has so much financial clout that they'll be able to sort of resist?
Jose Mourinho said, look, as soon as the transfer window closes in England, those European clubs are going to know that we're not going to be able to buy any replacements.
Yeah.
So it won't be a big problem.
Yeah. We got the money.
We just won't sell. But Coutinho...
It'll drive up the prices, though, won't it?
Well, this Coutinho-Liverpool thing, though, I would argue is a little bit of an anomaly, because generally speaking, when players want to go, they get to go. I mean, if you are a club who's got a player who doesn't want to be there, and let's say he's even more virulently against staying than, say, Sanchez was at Arsenal or Coutinho was at Liverpool, they can make it very, very difficult for a manager.
Perhaps move back to Brazil.
Yeah, well, quite. Exactly. Well, exactly. So
just in a residential club.
It'll be very, very, very fascinating to see how that pans out next season. I think the article I read also suggested that perhaps it needed the Premier League, which is, in terms of commercial, is the biggest league out there, to actually set their stall out and take the plunge. And then they expect everyone to follow suit.
Right. The other leagues start later, though. That's the thing. But Mourinho was very pleased with himself. He said, well, we got our business done way before the transfer.
Yeah.
He was also saying that they probably saved a bit of money, didn't they, pre-Neymar? Which is probably true.
Yeah. Anyway, little fat, the little fat fella Alexis Sanchez is is 8-11 with Bet365 to score at any time against Bournemouth this weekend, and £10 will return £17.27 should he hit the back of the net.
Just before we move on, you said 14 voted in favour of the change in the Premier League clubs because the chairman, they all met up. 5 voted against. Yeah. 1 abstained.
Yeah, yeah, they think it's the Burnley chairman.
Yeah. Okay, right.
That's what I read.
Mike Garlick.
Okay. Is that his name?
Obviously doesn't know his onions, does he?
Correspondence with PTD.
Sorry, I was so blown away. Onion nonsense. Hello to Matt. I've just been watching the Malta game. Or rather, the build-up to the Malta game. Ian Wright, let me start again there. Ian Wright, analysing the Malta game before the game against Slovakia. Basically, he paused the play on his big iPad, then levelled the criticism. Look, they're all standing still. Which I quite like. Rob in New York. I live and work in New York, and while getting my morning coffee last summer, I bumped into David Seaman, and he was well up for a selfie last week, where he exclusively revealed that
he doesn't do them.
Mm-hmm. I don't do that sort of thing.
What's the timeline, Pete? He might have changed his policy.
Good point. Well, he basically said, well, it's last summer, isn't it? So,
but he might be like when iTunes update their terms of service.
Maybe he's not happy with the higher definition of camera.
As he's getting older.
It might depend on the mood he's in.
I think he probably had his face on, and he said that's fine, whereas he's on the football pitch, a bit sweaty.
He basically said, I've been here a week and no one's spoken to me. So maybe he had something to do with that.
He wants attention. Yeah.
Maybe he had his ponytail glued on, like the thing of Chris Davis Pro used to apparently have.
We got one from, anonymous email. I couldn't find the name of this guy. Buenos noches, muchachos.
Yeah.
I'm currently sitting in a bar in Salta, Argentina, traveling South America. The World Cup qualifiers are currently on, as you will know. Mm-hmm. However, what you may not know is that when watching Uruguay's 2-1 win over Paraguay, I noticed that both head coaches are supporting injuries and both have crutches.
Oh, that's weird. Ooh.
Is this the first time both head coaches have been injured at the same time? Is the question.
Well, wow. I'd like to know
my
that.
Goodness, yeah. My goodness. I've been to Salta, lovely part of the world.
What injuries were they? Do you know? Can we find out which injuries they were?
Well, we'll give them a Google a little bit later on.
I'll tell you why, because I can remember Graham Souness, when I think it was managing Liverpool, had gout and had to cut a hole in the front of his trainer.
And
he would always be seen with a bit of a white sock sticking out of his trainer. And at some point, I think that went on for a long time, so at some point, surely he must have faced off against another manager with some sort of ailment.
Yeah. Has there been a more medieval injury manager or footballer?
My dad had it for a little while, but he just lived so damn well.
Yeah, he's like Henry VIII.
Killed a lot of women. Peter Blow says, I'm really looking forward to seeing the Liverpool bench, now it's being built around the Ox.
Yeah, okay.
I like that.
Peter Blow back again.
Peter Blow, coming back.
Is he a friend of the Ramble?
I think he might be. I think he might be.
With that sort of name, he should be.
Michal Maguire, the return.
He's a friend of the Ramble, definitely. He's always getting involved.
All right. Well, you remember names, I don't remember names. Yeah. Michal Maguire says, I'm really looking forward to the return of proper football. Only joking, I support Celtic, so I'll be watching the Scottish Premier League.
Okay.
Wow.
Goalkeeping errors, Mark McGee, Brendan's boy, Kings of the Apartheid mascot, Leigh Griffith eating a Tunnocks tea cake on the bench, safe standing, 4 reds in a game, Stramashes, this is football! Yeah.
Brendan Rodgers has got his autobiography out, hasn't he?
Road to Paradise.
The Road to Paradise. Oh,
when's that coming out? Is it ready for Ramble Live?
We'll have to get a copy to give away.
Oliver Memories Bailey, is that his name? That's a wonderful middle name, if indeed.
He's made up.
I've heard on the Bush Telegraph. What does that mean?
It's like a saying that I've heard on the grapevine.
I've heard on the Bush Telegraph that there are at least 2 planes with banners this weekend. Didn't think to ask where, though.
Should we have a guess?
Crystal Palace.
I'm going to go.
De Boer.
No, I don't think they will.
It's going to be Rafa, isn't it?
I think
Mike
Newcastle.
Newcastle
and West Ham, I think.
Do you reckon? What would be the West Ham one, though?
I know, I don't think West Ham.
Something about the Dildo Brothers.
Is it flown over from Lisbon?
Just 2 massive dildos getting caught in the turbine. Beautiful.
Like a piece of cardboard and like a spoke.
I reckon Newcastle and Arsenal.
Yeah, Newcastle and Arsenal, yeah.
Arsenal, come on.
Wenger out, Mike Ashley out.
Annoyingly, that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Basically, he's also looking forward to Sanchez's face looking like a slapped arse and Coutinho weeping for 90 minutes on the sideline. James Tortoise. Hello, James Tortoise. Or Tortoise, maybe, possibly. Rashford commenting that Lampard's ghost goal against Germany in 2010 was his first memory watching England. Made me realise that even at 31, I'm already a very old man.
Wow. Yeah.
That's crazy, isn't it?
I was 29 when that happened.
Yeah.
I thought you said Marcus Rashford. That's when he thought, I'm going to have to do something about it. And why has he started with that lovely goal against Slovakia, which you two didn't appreciate?
Well, we don't have goal line technology in the international game, do we?
Don't need it when you hit the back of the net like that.
Don't need it. So there you go. If you want to get involved with the show, as always, please get in touch. show@thefootballramble.com. And we live for your correspondence.
And some of those looking ahead to the weekend to come from the Facebook page, which is /footballramble.
Indeed.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about Leicester City and the Dildo Brothers after this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It was like the parts in the Red Sea. People just went, whoop.
Luke Moore, you've got something to say.
I have, haven't I? Yeah, well reminded. This week on the Continent, we talked Spain's shellacking of Italy, the Germany steamroller getting up to full speed, and 17-year-old wonder kid Jadon Sancho moving from Manchester City to Dortmund. Subscribe now by searching On the Continent wherever you get your pods, and there's a new episode every Wednesday. Back to you, Marcus.
Absolutely. I had my usual good repertoire of gags as well, Luke. Now.
You did, actually. Yeah, I couldn't forget that.
I
just noticed before the break, Pete said the goal line technology wasn't international football. Are you sure? I thought it was.
I thought it was only Premier League and a couple of other
It is on international. Remember, who was the commentator at a breakdown?
Jonathan Pearce.
Yeah, it was Jonathan Pearce.
A million of them.
Yeah. Listen, should have been more specific.
What we can say for sure is that there wasn't any goal line technology in 2010, and that was one of the things that spurred it on.
Yeah. But is that in every stadium, or is it just selected stadiums?
We would have won the World Cup, Pete.
Can't be all of them, can it?
Well, we did win the World Cup thanks to non-technology.
That is true, yeah. We're even.
There we are, you see. It all works itself out in the end. Might not have a West Ham, though. They're having a crap season so far.
Yeah. They really are, aren't they?
They have what one might describe as a must-win game at home to Huddersfield on Monday evening.
Can I just make what I think is the entirely fair point before we go on to town on them and their farcical owners, which I think will be appropriate.
Oh, we've already done it, really.
I just want to say that don't forget that it's very early in the season for one, and two, they've had four away games.
Yeah.
It's because the Athletics was at the Olympic Stadium.
Yeah. Do you remember how bad they were at the home last season?
One of their away games was at Newcastle.
That's true, and they got beat 3-0. 3-0. They weren't as bad at home last season after a while as everyone said. They won a few games.
They sorted themselves out.
They had teething problems, didn't they? And they picked it up.
Yeah, they need to, when they get teams back at that fortress, the London Stadium.
I wouldn't go that far. They basically dropped off in all departments last season based on the season before, which was a pretty good season for them.
Yeah.
But they have had four away games straight away to start with. And they're playing against a promoted team on Monday night, of course, who have started well.
Who bully teams, to be fair.
I don't think
they've got enough to see them off, to be honest.
I think that's possibly a fair comment. I don't know if I mentioned this to you guys before, but someone said to me a while back that in coaching circles in the top flight, Slaven Bilic is like a bit of a laughing stock.
Yeah, you remember me saying.
Did I mention that? Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. So it will be a challenge for them because you're right. They will get hassled and harried all game, and will they be able to cope with that when they're in such a bad way? Who knows? But they have got, I think, Andre Ayew and Andy Carroll back. I know Lanzini's not. He's definitely out. But they've got two important players.
This doesn't matter though, does it? They need a striker. They always need a striker. How many strikers? Yeah. However many strikers are available.
Got Hernandez, mate.
Yeah, true.
Carroll and Hernandez. That's what we've been gagging for all season, guys.
Even if we only get it two or three times a season, it'll be worth it.
That is good.
Marcus, it's a good job they managed to get William Carvalho in the transfer window. Because that's been a real boost there.
He would have been an excellent addition. Of course,
they got him. They did sign him.
Oh, they did sign him.
Yeah, because the email was so good.
All right, I see. Yeah, yeah. Well, they didn't cover themselves in glory with that whole email inquiry to Mr. Carvalho, did they?
They went through the malware filter.
David Sullivan, speaking of malware filters, he's adamant that a £30 million bid for that player was rejected.
I was going to say, have any of you read the email that was leaked?
We actually read the email itself.
Well, I don't know who leaked it.
Yeah, it was leaked, though.
The addresses were redacted, but the email was essentially leaked, and it's apparently authentic of West Ham trying to buy William Carvalho from Sporting.
Right, okay.
And it looked
Wasn't it on deadline day, though?
It looks like it was written by a five-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's embarrassing. It's an absolute circus.
Have you seen DG's tweet, DG?
Yeah. I don't know if DG... There's nothing to suggest DG wrote it.
Right, okay.
He might have done. He's 80 years old, DG.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be great on email.
Please end every sentence with DG. DG.
That's why I don't think it was him, because there was no DG mentioned.
There's no DG
mentioned.
It's
amazing. It's like, I would like to buy William Carvalho for £30 million, please.
Yeah.
if there was a crayon font, it should have been written in the email.
It was like, the first email was like, for £8 million now, £8 million next year, and £8 million the year after that, with add-ons to be discussed. And then there was no reply, so they sent another email saying, we will provide add-ons, like, if we get into the Champions League. And it was like really weird stuff. It's like you're playing Football Manager.
This is what happens if you don't send a fax.
The email address did come from dg@dg.com, so it might well have been.
I think it was Sullivan who was inquiring, not DG.
Okay.
Because his name was he was popping up all over the reports. But the sporting director claimed that DS never had any intention of signing Carvalho, which is strange because that email was leaked, and that is true, I don't know what their intentions were. So he went on Sporting's TV channel to slag off West Ham's fantastic results this season, he said sarcastically, of course, and called Sullivan and Gold the Dildo Brothers, which is quite wonderful, yeah.
Not a video game Nintendo want to release.
Yeah.
Super Dildo Brothers.
The best comment...
It'd be fun on the Wii, though, wouldn't it?
The best comment from the Sporting guy was he wanted to sign the player. This is still about David Sullivan. Mm. He wanted to sign the player the coach wanted so much, but just like I would want to give a Christmas gift to my enemy, I wouldn't want to give him anything.
Why are they so angry with DJ?
It's a big rivalry,
DJ,
mate.
I had no idea.
See this one coming, and I'm enjoying it.
I think it's. Oh dear.
Well, listen, West Ham. Those hammers are now 4-1 for the drop after their start to the season. £10 with Bet365 will return £50 come May should they slide through that trap door.
DG. It's not the only high-profile insult.
We've been relegated, DG. That would tweet.
At the end of the season, next to their name, it will say, DG.
Yeah.
Departing ground, DG.
It's not the only high-profile insult we've seen this week in European football. Javier Tebas, the president of La Liga, was accusing PSG and Manchester City of various financial things and one thing and another. And he said of Neymar and PSG... What we have done is caught them peeing in the bed or in the swimming pool. With the transfer of Neymar, they were pissing off a podium into the pool.
Yeah, I don't know what this means.
Yeah,
somebody likes to talk about piss.
It's strange. He was saying this while at the SoccerX Global Conference in Manchester, and when he was talking, it was quite funny. He was going, "Yeah, they're pissing in the bed, Neymar, and all that. They're pissing off the podium." Oh yeah, signing Mbappe again from the podium. He went like, obsessed with the podium.
He loves it.
And then he got up and pissed on the audience. I can't confirm.
Marcus.
Was it the football museum?
It doesn't mean you
I just
have
said
to.
I can't confirm it.
It sounds worse coming from you.
Does it though?
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
Because you're our podcast father.
Yeah, I hope
keeping
not.
Us all in line.
My dirty goodness. Granddad, DG.
Yeah. Tebas, the La Liga chap, wrote letters to UEFA demanding Abu Dhabi, who of course backed Manchester City and Qatar, who funded PSG, that whole thing needs to be investigated because of state aid and so on and so forth. UEFA are investigating whether PSG breached financial fair play this summer.
I saw something interesting that Sid Lowe said, Spanish football correspondent Sid Lowe said, it might have even been today. He said that as a part of him that thinks that if Barcelona didn't remove Qatar Foundation off their shirts, then PSG wouldn't have gone after Neymar.
Yeah, mentioned that a little while ago.
You did?
Oh, did you? Okay.
And I backed you.
So Horncastle said to us before, a week or two ago.
Oh, new friend Horncastle, pathetic.
Yeah.
I've been here for 10 years.
He's a much better bloke than you.
He's got better hair than me.
Yeah, yours isn't that bad though now.
Oh, cheers, mate.
That's all right. He said that PSG are a very petty club. They're known as being very, very petty.
Right.
So I guess it comes with the
territory. The P stands for petty.
Is that right? Petty Saint-Germain. DG.
DG.
He should go and work for PSG. I'm now working at PSG, DG.
DG.
I've just got the Eiffel Tower, DG.
Paris Saint-Germain. De German.
Can I see some ID, DG? And so on and so forth, Jim. There's lots of combinations.
Endless.
Speaking of Sporting, though, they very nearly sold Adrian Silva to Leicester City for $22 million, but of course the deal was 14 seconds late.
Yeah. How's that, how they work, that? How do you close off a deal 14 seconds late?
Yeah, you would say, it was a minute late. And have Leicester gone... Oh, go on, tell us exactly. Give us the breakdown of that. Yeah.
Going back to the facts thing, Simon Jordan, ex-Crystal Palace chairman, said on the Evening Standard a week or two ago...
Great hair.
I actually saw Simon Jordan, I bumped into him about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he was every bit as you'd imagine to be.
Right. I've seen him in the
massive
flesh.
White teeth, smile.
Just sort of glowing.
Dyed hair, really cheesy grin. He seemed nice enough, but anyway, I don't know the guy, but he was saying in the Evening Standard that... I think it might have been the Andy Johnson transfer.
Right.
When they signed him back. Did they sign him back on deadline day at Palace? Anyway, they signed a player on deadline day back at Palace a number of years ago. Going back to your thing about the fax thing, Jim. And he said, I knew we were past the deadline, but I just changed the time on the fax. And no one checked.
Really? Wow. That's what you got to do.
Isn't he admitting fraud there?
DG.
He's not involved anymore. He doesn't care.
What is the statute of limitations for Andy Johnson transfers?
I'm only putting out there what is publicly available. I'm sure you can find it online. He wrote that in the Evening Standard, so
all right,
you can read it. Yeah.
So any advice for any chairman? Just lie. Yeah.
So Adrian Silva's in this weird limbo now, isn't he? Where it's a bit confusing as to whether he's going to play for Leicester or not. They're still trying to get it through.
Again, though, it's a really depressing transfer window. I've not enjoyed this one bit.
You're right.
It's been horrible.
At least Danny
I completely agree, Peter.
At least Danny Drinkwater's move happened.
Yes, that happened. Move, yeah.
And he could play against Leicester straight away. Teaming up with Kante, though.
Sorry, before you go on to that, I thought that the Adrian Silva situation was that he has actually signed, but now, because they've literally signed him, he can't play through
January. This is it, yeah. He can't play. Limbo.
Well, weird. Drinkwater's an interesting player because you brought him... Go on.
Now you mentioned that, he should think, well, what should I do? Well, pop over to Brazil.
Go on loan.
Plenty to talk about. That's the way it is.
Go on loan somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Is he allowed to train? Are you allowed to train
with
you?
Yeah, you can train. Yeah. Drinkwater, you guys mentioned on Monday on the show I was absent for about... Well, you didn't actually mention him. You were talking about how England perhaps need a metronomic midfield player that can look after the ball. You guys didn't mention Drinkwater. I mean, he's perfect for that. He's so underrated in England, it's unbelievable.
Well, we have mentioned it before on the show, haven't we? But I was more dreaming of a genuine transfer from Mascherano or somebody like that. Yeah, you know,
I know what you mean. But this is because Drinkwater played for England against Netherlands and he was good, and he didn't get taken.
I'm surprised he's not been given more of a chance.
He didn't get taken to the Euros, and we all know that. And fine, last season Drinkwater wasn't brilliant. No one at Leicester was brilliant last season.
He wasn't. I mean, they still had a good run in the Champions League. Admittedly, I haven't watched him as carefully as I might have done. But he should have been given a bit more of a chance thus far.
Do you not
England.
Think this move will be great for him in that particular capacity? And, you know, people will level the accusation that when you move to a bigger club, let's say, you get more of a fair crack of the whip, etc. But if he plays a lot, I mean, I can see him doing really well.
He needs to play. I think it's a double-edged sword. One, that point is absolutely correct about him being at a big club means he'll get much more of a chance. But... he's got a lot of competition now. Bakayoko has been signed. Cesc Fabregas was good against Everton. Has played in the middle with, and Kante looks like he's always going to play. David Luiz can play in there. But Chelsea did do that. Did sort of play in that type of style against Spurs, where they really packed the midfield, and then Drinkwater can function in there. And you're never going to get. You're never going to get bombed out of a team or not rated or not respected by your fellow pros and your managers broadly if you're just a player that looks after the ball. Other players on the pitch with you understand how important that is. It just so happens in this country we underrate that type of midfield player because we like, traditionally, I don't mean we in this room, but football fans generally in this country, like a Steven Gerrard or a Frank Lampard. There's nothing wrong with... It's no coincidence to me that people like Michael Carrick, and I imagine Danny Drinkwater as well, have really long careers because they're always valuable, because they always look after the ball. And
someone like Danny Murphy, even latterly, he was that type of player.
He turned into one at Fulham.
Yeah, he did.
Before that, he was a bit more of an attacking midfielder.
But he still went on quite long.
He was a bit more of a number 10 before that, wasn't he? But he did move back a bit.
And a winger as well at some places, which was a bit...
But dark. I just think it's a really underrated skill, and I think Drinkwater, if he can force his way, and as Pete says, he's probably got a much better chance of...
But it is nice for him that he's next to Kante for Chelsea, so it's quite familiar straight away.
And that's assuming he will play, though.
Yeah, true enough. But if he's next to Kante, if you want, you know, next to an energetic midfielder like Kante... who also does like to get forward a little bit and so on, and is quite happy to sit deep and defend, then would England do worse than putting him in next to Jordan Henderson in there? I know Kante's a better player than Jordan Henderson, but Jordan Henderson's still a very good player.
This is the thing. England aren't pulling up any trees anyway. I mean, you look at England will qualify for the World Cup next year, no problem. We all know that. I think we can all agree on that. But when we saw them play against France fairly recently, they were outclassed.
It will happen with the pre-tournament matches as well.
So there's nothing wrong with perhaps being a little bit more thoughtful about it and having a player like Drinkwater in there, who you're going to guarantee is going to complete however many passes a game. And I think against Netherlands, he completed the most passes of any player on the pitch. Still didn't get a look in at the Euros.
And in the training camp, when you play those two or three friendlies just before you start the World Cup, play against Luxembourg.
Exactly. Get the confidence up.
Can't beat France.
Get yourself a 0-0 clean sheet.
Yeah.
Mm. Get yourself a 1-0 win against the Hong Kong 11.
Yeah.
You remember pre-Euro 96.
Exactly.
Okay?
How many, I mean, this is slightly different, sort of getting a bit tangential now, so, I suppose, but how many caps do you think Michael Carrick would have had if he was Spanish?
Well, this chat's been happening.
Do you know what I mean? I think he's got 30-odd caps for England.
Yeah.
And he's won everything with United. Mm.
And he's still playing now at, what, 35, 36?
Yeah.
So it was spread out. That's ridiculous.
That is a well-trodden
really?
Conversation. But it's gone.
Going back to Chelsea, I was impressed with them when they packed the midfield against Spurs. They executed that. I mean, it was pretty negative, but they executed that game plan really, really well. And I wouldn't be surprised to see them do that away from home against big teams this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they are up against Leicester.
Yeah.
The former champions of England. And mentioning Kante and Drinkwater, of course, former Leicester players. Jamie Vardy was asked about his, I suppose, new relationship, if you like, with his former teammates. And Vardy said, they're enemies to me.
Of course he did. You know what you're going to get with Jamie?
Yeah. He did say on the field, though. I should caveat that. But Vardy was talking in the media about the offer Arsenal made to him in the recent past. And talked a little bit about that and said he didn't regret it. And Vardy talked about wanting to win as much as possible in his career and even said that despite turning down Arsenal, he potentially looked at other offers and so on. And when pointed out that Arsenal did win the FA Cup, Vardy replied, yeah, but it wasn't the Premier League though, was it?
Mm, it's true.
Well, even Vardy's having a dig.
He didn't win that last season either.
No. And to be fair,
Jim, I don't think you're in a position there.
He is right, Jim. They are different trophies.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. I'll take that.
JV. If you fancy Vardy and Leicester to repeat the heroics of a couple of years ago, they're currently 300-1 to win the league this season with Bet365. A tenner on that will net you £3,010 should they do the business. It's in their hands. It's not really, because they're already some points off, but they've got a chance. Yeah.
It's a long way.
There's enough time.
35 games to go.
Things, when you say 300-1, I sort of think, it's not the 5,000-1, was it?
No.
I'll wait for that odds to go back up.
It's funny though, isn't it? Even a season on, like, what do we expect from Leicester now? Like,
quite. And I was thinking that just then with the Vardy thing. So you talk about Vardy being linked with Arsenal, and that was heavily sort of touted for a long time.
Yeah.
To me, even already, that sounds mad. Like, there's no way he's going to get a move out now.
Well, he's 30, isn't he?
Quite.
He said that he'd consider a move abroad, but he was actually talking about China or the USA. I think he knows who he is, doesn't he, Jamie Vardy, and he's made that decision. Have you seen the academy he started
as
well?
That's what I was going
to
say.
It's really, really, really interesting. There's a few players that have come out of it already. It's the idea is to replicate his own path, is give players from non-league football a chance to sort of get seen by league clubs and go in there. There's a guy called Danny Newton who's come out of the academy. There's four players that have signed with pro clubs already. And
It's Danny Newton!
He's already got 3 in 5 games is it Stevenage, perhaps, after signing from Tamworth. He's 26. He played alongside Andre Gray at Hinckley in the conference when he was 17. I think it's great that Vardy's doing this.
He's brought a few more through. He's brought Blair Turgot through as well, who is ex-Leyton Orient and dropped out of the league and has now gone back into the Football League, and he came through Vardy's as well.
Yeah.
So already it's bearing fruit for people.
Yeah, because Vardy made the point that he always felt even at non-league there were players that should have been playing at a higher level, but there just isn't the infrastructure there for clubs to get a look at them.
I think the phrase is bearing fruit-flavoured Skittles.
Yes. That's what you get, I think, in the academy.
Yeah. Well, some of those names you could see on an Arsenal bench in the coming season.
So I saw a really interesting thing about this fixture, which is Leicester against Chelsea. Leicester have only kept a clean sheet against Chelsea once in the Premier League. Do you want to hazard a guess at who the goalkeeper was?
Ooh. Ed De Hoy.
Nope.
Who was the Leicester goalkeeper?
Yeah.
Kareem. Oh, the Leicester keeper?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't specify, man. Yeah. And if you did, I'm sorry.
It's like going for glove all over again.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it?
Jim, you've gone renegade.
Is it Peggy Alfixad?
It is Peggy Alfixad. Well done.
Can I count that in my score?
That doesn't count.
The reason I bring that, because, you know, for those younger listeners that might not know who Peggy Alfexed is, he's a professional footballer who had a career that spanned from 1989 to 2005, who made 39 career appearances.
I don't think he played for Leicester very often. He moved there from Liverpool.
I think he played 21 times for Leicester, which is more than any other. And then he went to Liverpool on loan, made two appearances, and managed to get 6 winner's medals for being an unused sub.
Amazing.
There you go.
That's not bad, is it?
Absolutely amazing.
How many keepers have kept a clean sheet against Chelsea, DG?
Yeah. Do you want our best bet at Bet365, DG?
Please.
Burnley to pile more misery on Frank de Boer and Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
Because last week, I took matters into my own hands, didn't I, chaps?
Yes, you did.
And I went for over 3.5 goals in the England-Malta game. It came in, never in any doubt.
Mastermind of action.
I wasn't refreshing my app. And you guys didn't give me any credit on Monday.
I kind of forgot who'd done it. I thought, why have we not got a name for this? And then I didn't realise it was actually you.
So I'm still in the hot seat. So I've gone with Burnley to beat Palace, which is currently 5-4 with Bet365. So our £50 will return £112.50, including stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to gambleaware.co.uk. So that's Burnley to beat Palace. Cheer him on with me. and see how long I can stay in the hot seat.
I was going to say, people, a little bit of hot seat action for others, and so on and so forth. And Luke's gone, hang on a minute.
Well, do you know why? Last week I wasn't really happy with any of the suggestions, so I thought I'll take matters into my own hands.
Ooh. And my, didn't you?
I'll probably stay until May now.
It'd be good for charity, so I hope it happens.
And I'm also, another bit of hot news. You know, I went to the glamour tie that was Gillingham Southend last a couple of weeks ago. I'm going Mansfield Grimsby on Saturday.
You are, aren't
big
you?
Time. I used to go out with a girl from Mansfield.
Did you? Anything to report?
They have a lot of big England flags.
All right. Yeah. It's that time of place, is it?
What, her family or the town?
It's the town. She's seen a lot of flags around. I don't know why.
Did you go to the Mansfield Town Stadium?
I didn't know. I went to the Mansfield Town bus station and McDonald's.
Similar.
Which
how to treat a lady,
which
don't
the
you?
TV presenter Richard Bacon used to work at, weirdly.
You never went to Field Mill, no?
No.
You ever found yourself at Field Mill?
Field Mill?
Yeah. Oh, blimey.
I'll report back, of course.
If Burnley win, there's talk of Mr. De Boer losing his job.
I know. And Big Sam's already said, again, to give the Evening Standard yet another shout-out, Big Sam is friends with the Evening Standard. He used to do a column for them when he was manager of West Ham. He said, it's quite interesting, quite funny, he said, if they fire De Boer, I'm not coming back.
Right.
Because he's been linked, and I'm not having it.
You have to save yourselves.
And he said in the quote, I've got this reputation for never being relegated, and the longer I go on, the more chance I'm going to get relegated, and I don't want it to happen, so I'm not doing it.
But if they sack Southgate, I'm ready to come back.
Marcus, it's not happening. Stop driving that train.
Imagine if he went back to England and they got relegated.
We'll have you at West
Ham.
They
went down a pot. They went down a pot. Yeah. They went down a qualifying pot, and it was like the equivalent of getting relegated.
Yeah.
That was what would happen there. There we are, gentlemen. Any more for any more?
I've got nothing more for you.
Let's get out of here and let's get back into the football this weekend.
Thanks for listening to that Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365, everybody. It's been a blooming pleasure. We'll be back, of course, at the start of next week. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peetles.
DG.
That's goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.